how many vampires are blood feeders? What percentage do you think?
If I were to guess, I would say less than 25%.
Okay.
The vast majority of modern vampires today, while they are capable of drinking blood, choose not to, prefer to psychically feed instead. It is a little bit easier. It's obviously a lot more legal, and it has other benefits as well.
Drinking blood is old school.
Yes and no. If you follow with the story of the battle between the Shi and the Tuatha De Danann, that seems to suggest that psychic feeding was much older, and the curses that were laid upon vampires by the Tuatha De Danann makes them have to blood feed. But that's a story.
I need to hear that story, because you spoke in a kind of code there that I'm sure it's a little esoteric still for me to understand quite. How is it that they were? What was the dynamic that was going on between the Shi and the others that they should end up being cursed to have to drink blood?
Well, according to the story as it was translated by Elizabeth A. Gray, the second battle of Mag Turid, and pardon me if I'm not pronouncing that correctly, it's Irish, is the story of how the Tuatha De Danann took the island of Ireland from the Fomor, who were the warrior caste of the Shi being an old term for a vampire, or... You know, it is also used as a term for fairy, as in, you know, wings and pixie dust and all that stuff. But even the word fairy comes from the concept that these were the fair-skinned people, which is, you know, another reference to vampires. The story, as it's told in that book, in that legend, is that the Shi had been in Ireland for quite some time, and they lived there peacefully with the few other people that were there, which I believe were Inuit.
Inuit, yeah. Isn't like we think of as, like, you mean Eskimo?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the Inuit people are all over that region up toward the north. They've just been pushed back by the European expansion.
I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I'd never heard that.
So when the Tuatha De Danann came there, they were very skilled magical practitioners, energy manipulators, things like that. And they effectively offered to work with the Shi to teach them new things and to learn new things from the Shi in exchange for the island of Ireland. The deal that was struck was that a Shi would remain as the High King of Ireland, but the Tuatha De Danann would have the run of the land. The problem is that it was a very young man that was put in charge as the High King, and he was one of these, you know, bad people, as you mentioned earlier, that was vampiric in nature but didn't use it wisely. It led to a battle between the Shi and between the Fomor, specifically the warrior caste of the Shi, and the Tuatha De Danann. But before battle started, the Tuatha De Danann, as it's described in the book, knew that battle against the Fomor would be suicide. They likened it to sticking your hand in an asp's nest, or dashing your own head against a cliff. It was complete suicide to fight these vampiric creatures. So they used their magical abilities to lay four very strong curses on these vampires. Apparently only two curses stuck. One was that the sunlight would burn their skin in their eyes. The other was that no water in Ireland would quench their thirst. Now, this might be, you know, just a way of explaining away the way some people have, you know, this vampiric thirst, or they tend to be sensitive to sunlight. Or this could be an actual historical reference to where some of these weaknesses came from. Now, there is science behind these weaknesses, but this is an absolute, you know, wonderful story to help with understanding our history.